Welcome to Pop Bless Texas. I'm Lillian Salerno with my partner in crime, Kendall Scudder.
Hi, how are you?
And today is April 1st. Ugh. April Fool's Day. Kendall's, he hates this holiday.
I have
and
been
joking. I love it. I have been it's the one thing I love.
I have been going with Lillian's jokes about April Fool's Day all day, and it is not fun.
These are always the one. It's when you like tell someone you had a nose job and then they get all excited, how'd it turn out? And then you're like, I wouldn't have a nose job. What are you talking about? You know me. Or you call someone and say that you flew in to surprise them and you're only 20 minutes away. And then they're like, get all excited. And you're like, that was April Fool's. Come on. I taught my grandkids about it too. So we've already done three today.
It is the dumbest day on the calendar. I come across, I think, as the kind of person that likes April Fool's Day, just as I come across as the kind of person that likes going to weddings and enjoys Halloween, but I hate all of those things. Like, I am not that person. It's a huge misconception about me. And so, like, when April Fool's Day happens, I am the person that everyone thinks, oh, he'll enjoy this little joke. And I don't. I don't enjoy any of those jokes. No, I don't like the April Fool's Day stuff. Not because I'm like gullible and I believe it. It's just like, we're all busy and I don't have time. I just don't have time to deal with it. If you're going to pretend like you're pregnant, I'll deal with this when the baby comes out. I can't deal with this right now.
Or, you know, we could have said, hey, maybe that Senate Bill number 7 trying to restrict all minorities' rights to vote in the state of Texas, or the Senate Bill number 6 trying to make sure that women don't have rights for their reproductive rights. And maybe that's an April Fool's joke. Woo! That kind of joke.
Yeah, it's always the same jokes over and over again that they recycle every year. Like you wake up on April 1st, you pull your Facebook page up and everybody's making jokes about how they're not Democrats anymore. And now I'm going to be a Republican. Bye bye, April Fools. Like I can't. I am so over April Fool's Day.
All right. Okay. I've had all my fun.
But I get you love it. What are the, you told me you did three April Fool's Day things with your grandkids. What April Fool's Day things did you do?
Let's see. My sister, I'm in Mexico City right now and have been here for a week with my family that are here living permanently where they had to move. So I came to help, which means me not lifting one box, but helping with the grandchildren, which is, I don't know, lifting boxes may have been a better chore for me because they wore me out big time. They've got a lot of energy, as you know, and they're a little bit sociopaths, but in a good sort of multinational way. So in Spanish and English.
International sociopath sounds like a great thing on your grandkids' resumes.
They're awesome. But so my sister is meeting me. We have to go. We're traveling to the beach while we're here. And so my sister's joining us and she had texted and said, you know, did you make a reservation? She knows I do everything last minute. And I said, so we texted her back that I couldn't say nudist because the kids didn't know what nudist was, but I told her that we had a very good rate with at a naked beach where the only requirement was that she was naked and that she drank tequila. So they love that joke for some reason. And they're 4 and 6, so you know how appropriate that was. That went over well with the mother. And then we did another one to my other daughter and it was inappropriate also. So then we just did a funny one about a dog. So anyway, we're good.
April Fool's Day is the one day a year I don't want to spend with you.
You know, that's right. I see you remember this. You are not fun about
it. I'm really not. You know, I don't know what my deal is. I just, my whole, like,
your whole life,
my whole life and demeanor has shifted since my Senate run. Like, I was, even like before I ran for council, I was such a nice person. And like, as the world developed, I've just gotten jilted and jaded. And
I'm definitely a more depressed person since I ran for Congress. Also,
I don't want to leave. I am pro shutdown because I don't want to leave. Like I'm loving the shutdown. People are trying to like get me to start going to events and stuff now. It's like, I get that I'm fully vaccinated, but how long can I pretend like the reason I'm not coming out is a safety thing?
Well, there's still some reason to, you know, I don't know when you, when, I don't know if you saw the CDC director, really heartfelt, you know, real person at the CDC saying, you know, don't still wear masks, stop opening up these cities, stop being ridiculous. I'm not speaking to you as a CDC director. I'm speaking to you as a daughter and a sister and a wife and a mother. Like, I don't know, something about that was like, she knows stuff. We need to chill the fuck up.
What is the like thought process behind, I'm genuinely asking, what's the thought process behind people who are vaccinated? Like, like once I hit my 2-week mark when I've been double vaccinated, I know I'm going to still wear my mask because I don't want people to think I'm
sure. Vaccinated.
But like, is there really, can I go? I don't have to like shut down where I'm going and doing, right? Like I can go do stuff.
The whole idea is that even when you're vaccinated with masks, I mean, they still are, you know, I think still being around vulnerable populations is still out there. I don't know why. There must be a percentage of vaxes that don't take, I would think. I haven't done enough study to know, but I'm
gonna put the whole conversation on pause for just a second because I want everyone in this podcast to see me walk you through this process because I get comments all the time about all of the dinging that happens during the show that we try to edit out and you can't do it. It's all coming from Lillian's side. Lillian, I want you to pick your phone up right quick. And I want you, you have an iPhone. I want you to swipe down from the top of it.
Okay.
And you're going to see a little
putting a citation together, but go ahead. Okay.
You're going to see a volume thing.
All right.
Take it all the way to the bottom.
Volume. This thing. Turn the phone. Yeah, I got it.
There you go.
Okay.
Set that phone down. And now we're not going to get dings all the time.
You're
welcome, Pod Bless Universe.
Anyway, well, I'm sorry you're not having an April 1st day. I've had a couple of crap days. I arrived in Mexico City about 5 days ago, and the altitude, it's, you know, about 8,200 above sea level, whatever that denomination is that they refer to, yet to be named, unnamed denomination about sea level, and it will kick your ass, and it did. And I've been here so many, many times, but this time, I blame it on COVID and my weight gain during COVID of why I'm so miserable. But I was crazy miserable, like couldn't get out much and just tired. And they tried to give me drugs, and I didn't take them for the first 2 days. And then I decided to take some.
That's what I was about to say. Aren't there like drugs you can just get at CVS and take?
Yeah, it's just, if I can, I try not to contribute to the pharmaceutical cash pile, just as a general rule. But sometimes you got to.
Speaking of the pharmaceutical stockpile, the Texas legislature is currently meeting. You think do they seem to be doing anything about healthcare?
Not this year, but maybe next.
keep hoping.
Yeah, they on healthcare, they're a lot like they are on the electric grid. Maybe never. Maybe sometimes, maybe never. And people will forget. So
this is a hard session to watch.
Wow. You and I talked about when this session started, hey, you know, maybe there was a big enough scare. We didn't do as well as we wanted. Hint, hint. We fucked that election up and I still blame ourselves. I'm sorry. I still don't think we should just act like it was coincidence that we lost. We did a major fuck up by not knocking on doors and a bunch of other stuff, but it happened. We still didn't pick up any seats. Biden won a bunch of stuff. Awesome. We thought maybe we'd go into the session and maybe get some reasonable discussions. And here, whoop, Senate Bill 6, restricting women's rights to their reproductive health, the heartbeat bill, they call it. And then Senate Bill 7, basically ignoring the entire country and the last 16 months of George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, protests, diversity and inclusion, and saying that let's restrict mostly brown and black people's right to vote and get rid of drive-in voting, get rid of some aspects of early voting, and let's even, you know, fine people that get involved with other people's right to vote. So it's just not going very well this week. It makes me just cringe.
I mean, it's there, it could not be more obvious that there's so many more important things for us to work on right now. And like the idea that all of this controversial shit is having to get fended off. I hear though that one big problem is that the Democrats aren't showing up in Austin. They're not like testifying in committees and stuff. So if you're an activist and any of this stuff's important, you need to get your ass down to Austin. Like this is,
I mean, we're not showing up. Like our activists aren't
showing up to these committee hearings to give their public testimony. And so like they usually do, like usually it's a non-issue because you're in plenty of people from Austin and around the state will show up, but Democrats are real COVID conscious right now and they're not showing up to the Capitol. And so they're not having the same level of participation in these, and it's apparently having an impact. So if something's important to you, you need to start getting under those committees and doing your public testimonies.
Well, the Republicans probably know this, which is what they knew when they beat us in November, which is we comply with people's sensitivity about COVID. And it's less like we wouldn't knock doors, so they beat our ass. Now they're, no, they can pass this stuff because our people are complying with COVID restrictions and trying to take care of their communities. You watch all those people out there at those mass vaccination sites. I wish we had like a infrared. We could just like, no, those people volunteering and everything, those are Democrats. They just are.
Wrong for my perspective to be that once we're vaccinated, if there's people out in public that are vulnerable populations that haven't gotten vaccinated and they're not protecting themselves, at what point is it no longer my responsibility to protect those people? And like when do we draw the line that I have to continue hiding because these people who are in vulnerable populations that don't want to go get a vaccine and don't want to wear a mask are still going out in public? What's my moral, philosophically, what's my moral obligation there?
Well, if you're talking about like the Bible and stuff, sort of always.
I'm talking about just like as a citizen.
Sort of always.
That's my obligation to protect these people.
Well, I mean, I think people would disagree that, I mean, people wouldn't agree on what your obligation is, but that's why you try to have leadership.
How is your stuff still dinging, Lillian?
I don't know. It's a ding fest over here.
Oh, it's a good Mexico trip for Lillian.
Actually, it is a good trip. Anyway, you know what's so great about Mexico?
I'm a bit at my wit's end because I'm kind of at this point where like there are so many people that are not protecting themselves. They've had a 3-month head start to go and get it done. And to get in to do it. I guess I feel bad for the people who weren't able to get in yet. So I'm going to show some patience there. But once we get to about May or June, I don't know that I'm going to lock myself up anymore, guys. Like, if those people are going to start passing COVID around or if I'm going to accidentally give it to one of them, I don't know what to tell you. I can only do so much as a human.
Yeah, I think there's going to be this second, you know, whatever discussion about that. I mean, I don't know. I think I read... Was it 11 or 14 million Texans are vaccinated? One of those numbers, I can't remember, but I know that's a lot. But, you know, when you think about what a young population we have a very young population in Texas, and we start vaccinating, whether people are going to allow their 12 to 17-year-olds to get vaccinated, which is a big discussion that's going to come next. In Texas, I think it'll be... probably will rank somewhere down in the bottom like we normally do on uptake of vaccinations for children. So that'll be interesting. But, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I think there will be other factors that people will be considering. But gosh, how much did we forget in the Texas legislature that there was even COVID? Has there been any COVID discussion? Has there been even like lip service to COVID?
Well,
they've literally not discussed very much.
They passed rules at the beginning about COVID and then it just kind of fell off.
Like they haven't discussed it in relationship to restaurants, small business, children.
But I will say the leg session really is just, I mean, I know they've been going for a while, but in essence, they're really kind of just starting because you the first part of your session, you're filing bills, you're not debating them, your committees aren't meeting, like they just kind of started meeting. So I, you know, things are going to come up. They have way less bills than what they usually have, which is kind of why we were optimistic that important stuff was going to get handled. But you know what? They're prioritizing the pieces of shit legislation first, apparently.
Yeah, well, this is where I do think that our listeners and folks throughout the state, I mean, the only thing that Texas listens to is business. Texas legislators and the business community, Southwest Airlines, American Airlines, ExxonMobil, Liberty Mutual, they need to put some pressure on these dudes and say, if you keep on discriminating against brown and black people, we are going to move our corporate offices out of the state. Dallas Cowboys need to get involved. That's the only thing that they'll listen
to. Everybody's always known you could count on Jerry Jones to do the right.
Well, yeah, maybe not. You know, he's getting older. Maybe he wants to meet his maker with a certain kind of China. Like
corporate dystopia.
Yeah, but that's the only way around this stuff. We got to get them, which is what happened. And the only thing that saved us during the bathroom bill stuff, it was IBM, it was ExxonMobil, it was a handful other companies that came in and said, come on, guys, you're kidding me, right? And that's the only way they listened. Anyway, can we talk about what a sack of shit the lieutenant governor is?
Yeah, go for it. There is always time on the podcast to talk about.
I mean, is he just the worst? I don't even know. I just
I was just thinking about how garbage.
I mean, just thinking about it's bad enough that we have to admit that he's been our lieutenant governor, but if he's going to actually challenge Greg Abbott, which is in the stratosphere in the Republican Party that he is.
He said verbatim he's not doing
it. He said it, but don't believe him, never would. He's playing.
Looks like your buddy Sid Miller's going to, though.
That's just cray cray. The reason I think the lieutenant governor is, I think he's doing all the play with the casino, with the Edelson and what is it called? Las Vegas Sands. Kendall, that's the lobbying job I wanted you to get.
I want to get it, Las Vegas Sands.
Yes, you need a Democrat. They do make some decisions. You need Kendall.
Not Kendall. Cycle, they don't, apparently. I mean,
I guess they don't, yeah. So that is where the money train is, and that's who will help us elect governor on their side. So I'm just saying that's the lieutenant governor playing that role. So that's why I think there's I don't know enough about it, but that's my prediction.
While we're talking about people we hate and that suck, let's talk a little bit about Ken Paxton. Last week, there was an effort to try to receive correspondence from him in his office regarding his trip to Washington, D.C. during the Donald Trump now infamous insurrection speech, where he was in attendance alongside his wife, Senator Angela Paxton. He is refusing to disclose any of that correspondence, even though it was an officially paid trip by the taxpayers of Texas. And so now there is about to be a legal challenge against him there to try to receive that correspondence because he was theoretically on a work trip and he is refusing. I think the concern is, you know, what his texts and things were about it as it was happening. And he's not wanting to release that information. So.
Wow. Damn. Meg's having to report your mileage when I worked for the government. I was so scared. I was always like, "Yeah." I mean,
can you imagine if they made you turn over your personal cell phone texts?
Well, yeah, that would have been bad. I had two phones always. Always two phones. Always do two phones. Anyway,
two phones and a burner.
Not a burner. I've had lots of burner phones during campaigns. You know, when you just give out phones to everybody on your, like, volunteers and stuff, if that's considered a burner phone, but I've never had them, like, for bad messaging. I'm not a drug dealer, Kendall. Come on.
I don't know what you do, Lil. All I know is that you take a lot of these shady trips to Mexico and you leave and come without me knowing about it. Like, it's just real shiesty, Lil.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway. What else is going on? Anything in the North Texas area?
Biden has a big infrastructure bill he's trying to pass. Of course, Republicans think that it's, you know, riddled with pet projects for Democrats like roads and schools, and they're really upset by it. Matt Gaetz But I guess we'll probably go into that during the obsessed segment, so I'm gonna leave that alone.
God,
I don't know if there's that much else happening. Oh, you know who we didn't say? Who our guest is today? Our guest today is Councilwoman Lauren Doherty of Allen, Texas. She is an unapologetic Democrat that was elected in an area thought to be extremely conservative and Republican. She is running for re-election, and she's going to talk to us a little bit about municipal elections, why those are important, what that means to elect Democrats down ballot, all that good stuff. So she'll be up after the break that's coming up right now.
Yes, and we need people to get out and vote for her and send her money. That's on my list to do. So anyway, stick around.
Oh, that's we're just abruptly going to end it there.
That's all I got, man.
We're a little beat right now, guys. We're doing our best.
Happy April Fool's Day. And all Passover and Easter and everything all together.
Lots of holy stuff, huh?
Holy, yeah. There's holy stuff.
Catholic. Tell us about all of it.
Eggs, dinners.
Yeah, this is where Jesus laid those eggs.
I just had to explain this to Sophia, my granddaughter, and God, I was just terrible. I forget, you know, I was raised Catholic, so they pretty much just give you the facts. You don't have to read the Bible, which is what I liked about it. I don't really know. Whereas you, growing up in East Texas, you probably actually read the Bible. Yeah, I don't know the Bible very well.
We had,
yeah. I can't quote anything. I can't quote anything.
Bible studies. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we weren't allowed to read the Bible. We were allowed to have the Bible interpreted to us, which is good. All right.
Well, I hope you have a great Easter weekend, Lil. After this break, we are going to have Councilwoman Lauren Doherty of Allen, Texas. She's going to talk to us about the upcoming municipal elections on May 1st. So stick around.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. With us today is a councilwoman out of Allen, Texas, who's running for re-election on May 1st. Our favorite councilwoman out of Allen, Lauren Doherty. Yay! How's it going, welcome. Lauren?
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with both of you. You guys are such great podcasts, and thank you again.
You got elected to the Allen City Council, what, 2 years ago?
Three. It was 2018.
3 years ago, and now you're running again for re-election. How did your first term go? I mean, like for people who may not know the background, you're a pretty unapologetically progressive person that's serving in this suburb that's not always having the reputation for being there. So like, how was your first term?
Yeah, no, it's true. North Texas, and especially Collin County, likes to call themselves deep red or the reddest of the red. And it's just not true. It's another voter suppression tactic. It gives people the idea that their vote isn't going to count because they're not red enough or they don't have enough blue friends. But my election is proof that there are plenty of people in Collin County that are willing to vote for a progressive as long as you're a good candidate. But that being said, my first term has been definitely interesting and challenging. I've enjoyed it a lot because it is a new kind of challenge for me. But being the only left-leaning or progressive type of person on the council, it's definitely difficult to get anything through, but I'm using it as a platform to give voice to people who haven't had a voice on our council before, and I think a lot of people really appreciate that.
So when people think of the Allen City Council, they must, people around the state who know anything about Allen think Allen football because it's run pretty much like a professional football team out there, and the stadium itself costs more than probably many small school districts combined, just the football field. And now they hired, I think, a former SMU football coach. So they play at the college level, but with your public funds for football. So let's just set the tone there. What is Allen, Texas?
Yeah, Allen is Friday Night Lights.
Friday Night Lights.
The actor who played Buddy Garrity. The actor who played Buddy Garrity in the TV show lives in Allen, or at least he did. I'm not sure if he still does anymore. Allen is, even, I know Friday Night Lights is really supposed to be Midland and Odessa, but Allen is definitely Friday Night Lights. Absolutely.
I,
I've actually been to a game out there for I don't know what reason, but I mean, I like football because, you know, I grew up in small town Texas too, but that was not small town Texas. That was like being at a Jerry Jones Dallas Cowboys event with all the, except for the cracks in the stadium, which they built, which was another thing that you guys probably had to decide what to do with. But with that setting, when people come in to talk about poor people, talk about healthcare, talk about, you know, battered women. What kind of, how are the people on the council on those issues?
We don't get a lot of people coming to us to talk about poor people, unfortunately. Those are the people that I think don't have a voice on the council. But when you're talking about other communities, battered women and those kinds of things, they definitely get a positive reception. You know, we have reasonable human beings on the council. Good. At this point, I give no guarantee for the future, but no, I mean, I think the people that are on our council are generally good people. They just, they don't necessarily see eye to eye with me on some of the political things. But have you ever tried
to build a coalition? I mean, is there an issue where you reached out to your folks and like, gosh, I know that person thinks the same way, but you know, there's not a real chance to do coalition just because, I mean, it's very much D versus R politics out there in Allen.
I mean, yes and no. I think it comes from the grassroots mostly with, for example, one of the issues that I've brought up in my campaign in 2018 was diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that's something that is really important to me and has become a really important topic in our community and in our country this year and in the last couple of years because of all of the horrible police killings. And last year after the unfortunate murder of George Floyd, we did have community members come to our council and talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And that finally was enough of a push to get our council over the hump. And now we are putting together a diversity, equity, and inclusion task force to study the issues in Allen and come up with a plan for how to address them. So, you know, there are some areas of common ground that we've been able to manage.
So when you you ran the first time, you kind of surprised everyone and won, and now you're running for re-election. And it feels like folks are kind of rounding up the cavalry against you because you're like the lone dissenting voice. Have you found that your community has been receptive to your re-election campaign, or do you feel like you're in a little bit of hot water right now?
I definitely feel like there are two camps, just like there are two camps for everything in 2021. I have a lot of supporters in the community. In fact, I just turned in my campaign finance report today and it was 76 pages long because I've had so many contributions come in. And some of them are from outside of the community, but I would say at least more than half are from Allen residents. So I definitely have supporters. And I think a lot of that comes from my communication efforts through social media. But definitely there are the people out there who cannot stand to have somebody like me on council, even though I'm only one out of seven. And what I say to that is I don't think they really understand representation. Our city has proven to be a pretty purple city. And when you have 100% of your council falling on one side of the political spectrum, that is not representation. Honestly, we should have three of me on the council. Or four, because when you look at how we vote in elections in Allen, we tend to vote pretty much half and half. The last presidential election, Allen actually went for Biden by a few hundred votes, which is probably a huge shock to people because they've been told over and over again how red Collin County is. Well, we're not that red anymore. You know, we're over a million people now. We're heading toward 3 million by, I don't know, 2050 or some number like that. Demographics have changed. Politics have changed. We are pretty purple. And so we need that representation, not just politically, but also racially. We need sexual orientation representation. We need religious representation. I mean, we have very little diversity on our council.
If you were to speak with someone around the state of Texas in a different area who's running for council for the first time, not for a reelect, kind of like you did 3 years ago, in an area that really seems uphill, what would be your advice to those people on what it took for you to be able to break through and get elected the first time?
So the first time I was really fortunate, I was running in a year with primary candidates who were very good at their field game. So I tagged my campaign onto them and worked together. It was like a coordinated campaign effort, even though we weren't running on the same ballot. So I would say work with your other local candidates and help each other hit as many doors and as many phone numbers as you possibly can, because it's all about the outreach efforts. It's not about signs. It's not about meet and greets. You have to go to see to the people where they are. You have to go to their homes. You have to call them. You have to go to them. They are not going to come to you. And then once you identify who they are, you got to go back to them and force them to go to the polls and vote. So it's a two-step process. Go to them, ID who's going to be your voter, and then go back and make sure they actually vote. And it's a lot of work. You got to get volunteers, or you've got to do the work on the ground yourself. It's hours and hours. Do not expect to sleep or eat. I lost weight in 2018. Luckily, I have a bigger team this time, and I've had a longer time to plan, so I've been able to eat some meals once in a while, but it's hard work, and I only won my race by 44 votes, and I think I ran probably the strongest, hardest race anyone had ever seen in Allen in history. That's what I heard from the long-term council members that were on the council. They were like, I've never seen anyone run a race as hard as you did, and I still only won by 44 votes, so when you're running uphill, it takes a lot of extra work.
And what I've noticed and have always had a lot of respect for you and the operation you run up there is that you, I think this is a perspective that people don't see very often. You never spent your time hiding. Like it's like you decided this is what we're going to do, and we're going to work our asses off to make sure that we can do it, instead of the traditional path, which is maybe I can hide from everyone that I'm a Democrat, and maybe I can hide from people all the things I want to do. You said, I don't think people in this community really care if I'm a D or an R, because we don't have Democrat potholes or Republican potholes. We just have potholes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be who I am, and we're going to try to win it. And you did it successfully.
Yeah, I think that you can win both ways. I have seen people win by hiding who they are, and I have seen people win who are, I mean, there are other people in Collin County who are like me who have won a race for a nonpartisan office. I have not seen a Democrat win a partisan race since I've lived here in 16 years. I think it's actually been something like 30 years since a Democrat has won a partisan race. But we do have a few Democrats who've won nonpartisan races and have been, quote, out. You know, if Republicans get to be out with who they are, why don't we get to be out with who we are? When it comes down to these municipal races, these local elections, the turnout is so incredibly low. You have plenty of voters to choose from. You can target trying to go down the middle and try to get those voters to the race, to the ballots, or you can target, you know, Democrats who actually vote in state and federal level elections and try to get them to vote in the municipal election. So it's just who are you going to try to target? And so I just decided I'm not very good at lying and pretending about who I am. I am who I am. I'm an open book. I'm very transparent. People like that these days. They want a transparent elected official. So I rolled with that. And then in order to be able to utilize those primary candidates and their field game, you know, if my piece of lit was going to be in the same stack with Lori Birch, it wasn't going to be a question of whether, you know, people will know automatically who I am. So, you know, I had to choose one way or another, and I chose, and it worked, luckily. But yeah, you could go the other way.
That's really awesome. Okay. And so in this term that you've spent, you know, you've been able to get a lot of great stuff done for the people of Allen. What does a second term mean for you? And tagging on to that, what would a term in a local municipal race mean for anybody really in any community when you're able to get a progressive elected in these nonpartisan races? Like what is, how does that translate to something that's worth me spending my time to work on?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it depends on how many progressives get elected. So if you got one, then it's worth your time because people feel like they're represented. And they also recognize that you got elected and that it's possible to do it again in the future. It's opening the door for another person to run later on down. You know, like this year, there's a chance that I could get another person elected to council who thinks a little bit like me. And then once I've got that other person on the council, I can make a motion and they can second it to put something on the agenda. That's huge. Then we have to vote on it, right? If it's on the agenda, we all have to vote on it. And whether it passes or not, we've had a public discussion about that issue now, right? So that's huge. But if you don't have enough people to pass, you know, super progressive concepts like they do in Austin, you can still do things like diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. Something else that I'm really interested in doing that I think Alan is ready for, because we are an educated, wealthy, relatively wealthy community, is a climate action plan. We already do a lot of that stuff. It's just not packaged up and educated to our public as a climate action plan. And I think our community, both red and blue, recognize that we have a climate disaster happening in the world. So I think that's something that we could, quote, reach across the aisle on a city council and get done. But it never would have been brought up if somebody with my, somebody with my perspective hadn't been elected to the office.
That's so important. The discussion, you don't have to win it all. When the discussion itself will attract discussions, and companies that are moving in will push the issue if they know they have some friendlies there. I mean, that's one of the things we've seen, is that how important it is just to let some of this stuff out of the box so people can start discussing, because there's probably people on your council that are in complete agreement with you on probably 70 or 80% of what you think, but you know, they don't know who their friends are either. So well, you're doing great work. We sure do hope you win.
Yeah, and the further down you go on a ballot, the closer that race is to your front door, right? And so it seems like any time that, you know, the down ballot races don't feel as sexy, but any time that you have problems that are directly outside your front door, those are mostly going to be issues that are impacted by people like Councilwoman Doherty.
Well, not only that, I mean, city council and school board, we set your tax rate. I mean, the thing that most people are concerned about is their taxes. We're the ones that are charging you for it. So vote for who you think is going to either spend your taxes correctly or set your taxes right. I mean, that's where cities and school boards, I mean, especially school boards, but cities as well, come in.
So this election that spans, you know, different jurisdictions have elections sometimes they don't for municipals, but for the communities that are having these elections in Texas, what are the dates that we need to be aware of? When are you up for election? When does early voting start? What's all that info?
Right. So today, April 1st, is the last day that you can register to vote. And so if you're not registered to vote by today, then you won't be able to vote in the May 1st election. That's the election
this isn't coming out. And this isn't coming out today. So if you haven't registered to vote, you're just kind of screwed at this point. Sorry, guys.
Okay. I didn't know what the timeline was on that. So early voting starts April 19th. So you can go into your election centers and vote in Collin County. You can vote anywhere in the county. Alan will have two election centers. The first one is always at the municipal courthouse, which is at the city hall. And the other one is the Allen ISD Service Center. You can vote from April 19th in early voting, and then May 1st is election day. And that's a Saturday.
So check in whatever neighborhood you're living in, random Texan, to see if you are having elections that are happening, because your early voting is going to end up starting on April 19th, right? So two Mondays from now. if people are in North Texas and they want to support your campaign and help you out, or if they don't live in North Texas and they want to send you money or try to make sure we reelect one of the good guys that are fighting in hard areas, where would they go to do that?
Yes, thank you. My website is laurenforallen.com. Four is spelled F-O-R. You can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. They are all Lauren for Allen. My website has a link to donate. I'd happily take any donations that you want to send my way. And I'm also looking for as many volunteers who'd like to help us knock on doors and meet voters or make phone calls and meet voters. So laurenforallen.com is my website. That's how you can get in touch with me.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, we really appreciate you, Councilwoman Doherty, for coming and joining us here on Pod Bless Texas. Probably against your better judgment, but we appreciate that you're here. But you don't get to leave yet, because before you go, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsessed. That's where each of us will talk about one news story from the week, whether it's politics or wasn't, that we'll be completely obsessed with. And as always in this segment, we like to start with Lillian Salerno. Lillian, what is something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
Well, every day when I wake up and say, okay, come on, Texas. You can't keep doing this shit. And Senate Bill 7, 7 hours last night in the Texas Senate arguing about or listening to testimony about the Senate bill, voter suppression bill. It's just tragic that we're still going through this, especially in these days, in light of George Floyd and the protests and Black Lives Matter and the whole country on edge about diversity and inclusion. The spirited speech by Texas State Senator Boris Miles warning Republicans that their voter reform bill is nothing but suppression and that communities are not going to stand for it. And he used the term waking the beast. And I just think the way he described just the sort of the inhumanity of it all. Here we are in 2021 and we're still at this, and how can we do another round of this crap? I'm obsessed with how unjust this Senate bill is, and I'm obsessed with what's it gonna take for people to stop playing this race card in the South. Yeah. It's just
hard to watch right now. Like, the ledge is just a nightmare this cycle, and we really thought that it was going to be pretty overwhelmed by COVID and the power blackouts, but the Republicans are just seizing this as the opportunity to throw every stupid piece of shit legislation out on the table. And I mean, it's just embarrassing.
Embarrassing. I mean, what they did in Georgia, what they're doing in Texas, it's just, it doesn't reflect the values of ordinary Texans. It reflects power brokers that are scared of losing power, and we just can't stand for it. We got to do something about it, and appreciate all those people that went up and testified last night. Wasn't me.
That's a good obsess, Lillian. Do you think it's going to pass?
Yes, I do.
Do you think it's going to actually wake the beast?
Yes, actually.
You're more optimistic than I. Good news. Good to hear that, Lillian Salerno. Great obsessed. Councilwoman Lauren Doherty of Allen, Texas. What's something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
I mean, who isn't obsessed with Matt Gaetz this week? What is going on with that man?
I don't think he knows.
I mean, he doesn't even have his story straight. He says that he is not guilty of trafficking children across state lines and paying for their travel while having sex with them. And he's trying to drag Tucker Carlson under the bus, and Tucker Carlson can't even figure out what to make of it. And I mean, if Tucker Carlson can't spin it, nobody can. And he's connected to some tax collector in Florida who is also, you know, spending money on body armor and drones. And it's just this giant tangle. Oh, and then he tries to claim that it's all related to some kind of extortion effort. I mean, he's just trying to muddy the waters. It's very...
just an average day in the life of an American hero.
It's funny how over the course of the last year, stories like that, we're all just numb to them. You know, like 5-10 years ago, our minds would have been blown over something like that. But today it's just like, oh, he's Florida man. Whatever.
The only thing that I was surprised about in the Matt Gaetz scandal thus far is that the 17-year-old was a woman.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
Have you ever noticed how he has like those evil genius, like eyebrow, like his... I mean, I don't necessarily want to body shame him, but he has a like evil, like eyebrow thing going on.
Well, yeah,
the
reason I say that is because that is just what the Republicans these days have become. Unfortunately, they used to not be that. Well, maybe they were, but like where everything that they hate and are constantly beating up on is what they're doing when the camera's not on. And he's just one of those just homophobes in the halls of Congress. And I just knew. I was like, oh, a 17-year-old? Let's see. I know he's going to be a great guy. Like it's, but it turns out it wasn't. It was a female child that he was having sex with.
A girl.
So, ask Tucker Carlson, who was at lunch or dinner with them.
Just ask the 17-year-old who's a daughter of somebody who's probably not very happy right now.
Well, they shouldn't be. I mean,
shouldn't be.
Pretty terrifying.
Really terrifying.
I mean, they accuse Democrats of doing everything that they do themselves. I guess they just figure if they're doing it, then everybody must be doing it. But
yeah,
it's and just it almost them.
Seems like, it almost seems feels like the QAnon people are real concerned with the pedophiles running the government until they find out that their people are the pedophiles, and then they're suddenly fine with it.
Yeah, or maybe Matt Gaetz has a secret pizza parlor with a secret basement where he takes these 17-year-old girls. I don't know.
Really,
it's just all projecting. It's a lot of projecting.
Definition of Florida man, for sure.
Check the pizza places in Matt Gaetz's district. That's a good sense, Councilwoman Torney.
I didn't say that.
I like that one.
It's going to be a fun one to watch unfold, and I feel really sorry for that poor girl and her family for having to go through that with their congressman. Great obsessed. My obsessed this week, I've gone back and forth on what I want it to be. I think the obvious one for me to do today was going to be Lil Nas and how everyone's freaking out about it, but I've already covered the culture wars before. So we talked about the potato head and the Seuss. So I think I'm going to set that one aside, even though the memes were fire. And I'm going to go instead to something that's happening in the ledge right now. I don't know how much you're following because there's all these things that are going on and it's just hard. It's like drinking through a fire hose. But what I'm completely obsessed with this week is Senator Nathan Johnson, who is a senator in his first term from Dallas, Texas, who is a nice guy. He's been on the podcast before. We liked him. But when he got elected, I don't think anyone really expected him to be a firebrand. I don't think anyone expected him to be like the guy on the front lines waging the fights that other people won't. Turns out he's that guy. He has been an incredible senator. And this week, there was a bill that was put forward by Senator Hughes out of East Texas to make all abortions in the state of Texas illegal if there is a heartbeat. And he nailed him to the fence. It was so amazing. He basically asked Ryan Hughes, he was like, would you agree that the only time you would probably need to have an abortion is if there is a heartbeat, Senator Hughes? And so are you not infringing someone's right to terminate a pregnancy? And Hughes was stumbling all over himself, but the best moment of it was apparently what this bill would also do is allow average everyday citizens to file lawsuits against abortion providers for performing those abortions at $10,000 a pop. So you could theoretically have 30 million lawsuits against you as a provider for doing one thing. I mean, it's outrageous. And he was talking about mass enforcements by the public. And Brian Hughes says, well, that's very improbable. And Senator Johnson said, Senator Hughes, would you agree that it is improbable for Texas to have a week-long snowstorm and have San Antonio under a foot and a half of snow? Just because something is improbable does not mean it is impossible. Anyways, he has just been waging these fights in a way that I've been very impressed by. I've been very critical of Senate and the senators there. I don't think a lot of the Democrats have gumption or backbones, and they just kind of sit by. And you can just watch them while Nathan Johnson's taking them on, and all of his Senate colleagues are just sitting there. They're not really helping him.
Nathan Johnson's about 50 IQ points higher of anyone else in the Texas Senate, for sure. Everybody.
And Lillian, it shows. If you're watching him doing
I had great hopes for an elect.
He sounds like the Katie Porter of the Senate.
He's smart, and he has an amazing wife who's smart, and he's got great, he's a great intellect and a ton of compassion. So I'm not surprised. I'm thrilled. But yeah, it's good to see him in action.
It's what I've been completely obsessed with this week. If you have an opportunity to watch Nathan Johnson tear into somebody on the floor of the Senate, you should take that opportunity. So I've been completely obsessed with, and that was obsessed.
All right. That was a good one. Remember, Senator Johnson did write the theme song for Dragon Ball Z.
He did.
Yeah, he.
You may remember him from the episode, Hey Ocarina, because he loves to play his ocarina.
He does.
We learned that on the podcast.
We do. He has one, apparently. Anyway, that was a good one. I love that. Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. And we just wish you so much victory. I'm going to get off. When I get off this podcast, I'm going to send you some money. I just have to write myself.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Appreciate that. No, thank you for having me. It's been really fun to be on the podcast with you guys. I'd love to come back someday after I get reelected.
Sure.
Or even if I don't, and we can just talk about stuff and I don't have to worry about it.
It can be the tell-all podcast if you don't. So yes. They better elect you or else.
Yes. Yes. And if people want to follow you, where do they follow you again? Or did we already ask that? Yeah, for Lauren.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all Lauren for Allen, spelled out F-O-R, Lauren for Allen, L-A-U-R-E-N.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Lillian, if people wanted to follow you, where would they go to make that happen?
I'm on the Twitter machine a little bit at Lillian_Salerno or through Pod Bless Texas. I don't do any other
social. Yeah, I've been pretty bad at the social media lately. I've got to get it back together. I've just been swamped. But if people want to follow me, they can follow me on all the social medias at Kendall Scudder as well. People can follow the podcast at Pod Bless Texas on all the things, the Patreon, the YouTubes, the Twitters. You get all that stuff. Go to the store, subscribe, all that good stuff. And on behalf of myself and Lillian and the entire Pod Bless Texas team, y'all have a blessed week.
Have a blessed week.
Bye-bye.